Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's happening in virtually every developed country in the world. Young people, usually boys, unable to walk away from online video games.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me as always...
Ben Vanel here, searching desperately around the room for something to turn into a little intro joke.
There's a lot of things. We're in my living room. There's a piano behind you, and you looked at it and went, no possible way.
Wait a minute.
But Adam here with the key to coming up with something to say.
There was an intro joke across the table from me.
Exactly.
The whole time.
Simply pick any word and say it for no reason.
Yep. Now, Adam, when are you going to take that air fryer out of the box? That's what I want to know.
I don't know either.
Probably not before you leave
the
country.
No, that's the thing is like...
Take it with you.
First it was I couldn't because I was going to move, and then it was I couldn't because it was a Christmas present.
Okay.
That's how long ago it's been sitting around being an air fryer in a box for.
And we're pre-recording this episode in January.
Yeah, this is January the 1st. Haven't taken it out for a week. But yeah, I don't know. I it's a lovely present and I would love to use it, but I have an oven as well.
They are great. I've got one, but they take up too much room.
Yes.
And you know, you get into it and you're like, this is great. And then something clicks where you're like, oh yeah, I made chips in it. And you're like, I was doing that in the oven for years.
One of the most effective pieces of marketing for a product I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Where people can reinvent the oven.
Right.
I'm still not
convinced.
Humans
have been cooking food since we developed brains that were smart enough to cook food.
Yep.
And we're still dumb enough to accept new stupid ways of cooking that food as being like a revolution.
I'm convinced that it's...
thank you for the present.
I'm still convinced that it's going to become like the tanning bed of its time where all of a sudden the jig is up and people are like, these are... Because it's like there's kind of like a weird sort of like plasticky smell that they make when they're on.
Right.
And something about it makes me go, someone's going to blow the lid on these things in about 4 years' time and go, these are so bad for you.
These cause skin cancer somehow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll never open it then. Or
we'll just keep using our radioactive microwave ovens.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you what, other gifts I've received this week.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I didn't receive it. It was Christmas. Not even a Christmas in July. That's been sitting there for six. I should get it out of there.
Get it out. The box takes up more room than the thing.
I know.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, it does.
Make some chippies. There's a picture of them.
There's a bunch of stuff on that tape. It's been a month since I moved, but I'm still in post-move, haven't sorted out some things.
There's three mandarins.
Well, I'll eat them, but
but they're
moved
loose.
You've moved at a time that's very conducive to not fully unpacking because you're also about to go away for a month. So
it sucks.
I understand the logic of like, why bother with this now?
You've had your fill of packing.
There are two previous bedside table lamps sitting there because they gather dust is the problem inside of them. The way they're built, they're like a vertical tube, and I don't like that about them. But you know what they're doing right now? Gathering dust!
Yeah. Why don't we break the air fryer open now and we'll have a little going away party for you.
Oh, don't mind
the IGA,
that.
Get some potatoes.
We've got a few things to record. We can have a little meal halfway through.
Get one of those little trays of roast veggies that you just tip in there.
Make some taquitos. That's a good thing you can make in there.
Or we could cook up a little bit of video game news, which was the gift I was going to say that I'd received.
From the world. Yeah.
Well, we're not cooked. That was cooked up for... That was like someone else.
Delivered.
Bloomberg in their air fryer. Yep. They've cooked up the video game news and it's been very... They've just hit the news setting and 7 minutes later they've pulled the tray out. It doesn't really... You have to kind of like hold the like little... trigger down in a certain way, like it kind of jams.
Sounds like a terrible product that is a waste of time and space.
For news, you used to just have to use regular olive oil or whatever, but you've got to get like a special spray typewriter to make this new. A regular I can't do this stupid comparison anymore. I couldn't do it at first.
We've got a little tasting platter of news.
Yes. Jason Schreier in particular has done one of his famous leaks.
Mm.
The most famous leak since... Who was an incontinent celebrity?
Who did a big piss?
Ooh, famously incontinent celebrity.
Pisser.
I know one who's specific to like Melbourne comedy.
Yeah, who's in an ad for incontinence pads.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know that one. That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, wasn't there a photo of like... I want to say Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas with like a big piss stain.
You're really? Right, there was. Yeah. Mid-concert.
Yes.
Yeah. And didn't... I think she did... Because it's always, you know, in those situations and the person will come out and be like, I was sweating.
Right.
But my memory is that she just went front foot and went, yeah.
Yeah, I
long
didn't wanna...
show. I had to just piss.
Yeah.
Had to just piss my pants live on stage. Had Will.i.am next to me.
Yeah.
Had fucking Apple the App.
Yeah.
Is that his name? Yeah. On the other side. And the fourth one.
And fuck, what was his name? Was
something stupid like .com or something like that.
And
Billy
piss hater, and he didn't enjoy being up there.
No, he stalled out. He left the group after that. I was about to say, what would the Rockstar video, what would the GTA World version of Jason Schreier be? And unfortunately, I think it is just Jason Schreck,
yeah.
Which is our version of him because I couldn't pronounce his name.
Yep.
So Jason Schreier, who is at Bloomberg now and has always been, you know, a good, reliable video game journalist source for the most part. Obviously, not everyone does well all the time. But
written two fantastic books, if you haven't... heard me crow about them on the show before.
Famously hates crunch.
I would trust his leaks.
Yeah.
Like I would trust... not everything has to be a... I need to restart this episode or something. My brain's broken today. I'll tell you why later. But anyway, so Grand Theft Auto 6 is what the leaks
because you're
are
thinking
about
the air fryer, isn't it?
Yeah, I've gotten thrown because my houses are fucking...
You try to look around the room to distract yourself, but it takes up so much of the visual real estate of where we're sitting that it's impossible to look beyond.
Yeah.
God, I wish you hadn't fucking brought it up. So Grand Theft Auto 6 is probably about 2 years away, at least 2 years away is what they're saying.
Because I think, what was it, a couple of weeks ago we talked about how reportedly the Red Dead remaster?
They shelved some stuff.
Was put on the shelf
to put all hands on deck on a new GTA.
And it was further GTA Online stuff maybe.
GTA Online is still going all right, but Red Dead Online, they pretty officially, I think, told everyone we're done with
and
this.
Hadn't
put an update out for a year till this point. But
And never quite took off in the way that I think they probably assumed.
Well, people liked it, but it just seems like GTA Online, if you're going to put it into one, GTA Online is still, you know, the money a melon.
And it's easier to add stuff to, you can kind of add whatever you want to GTA Online.
Yeah.
Whereas Red Dead, you're very limited. Oh, a new horse.
It would be a bit weird if they were suddenly like, I guess here's like one of Da Vinci's helicopters and this guy built it. So
that
they could
rule.
Do it.
Yeah. They did have, I mean, regular Red Dead 2 had a song by D'Angelo in it.
Yes.
Modern day. So, you know, they could get a little bit creative with stuff they put in.
That side quest with like the robot, if you ever found that one, there was a robot. Side quest, like a Tesla style kind of 1800s Jules Verne kind of robot.
I don't remember.
But
they could do Ye Olde Life Invader and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Put in some, you know.
What's all this social media people are talking about? I think it's social media is probably what Arthur would say about it. So
anti-social.
That's
me,
what I
me media.
So they've stopped all of that. They're working pretty full time on Grand Theft Auto 6, and these are the details about Grand Theft Auto 6.
Now, is this a leak or has this been... I didn't get the chance to read this article
yet. This is a leak.
Yeah,
this is not Rockstar putting this out. This is Jason Schreier saying, guess what I found out? Little tattletale.
Yeah, just peering through the window in there. It's got a huge ladder. Presumably they'd be on the very top floor so people driving past can't just like look in and see a computer and be like, fucking hell, that's Grand Theft Auto 6.
Is that a bloody Sheila that you're controlling? What's going on there?
Walking through there, peering through windows. He's wearing mirrors on his shoes so that he can see up people's laptops.
The people in at Rockstar being like, that's a beautiful hot air balloon right outside the window. And then they look, they're like, holy fuck, that's Jason
Schreck
with the fucking big binoculars.
Oh, no.
Looking in at our computer that's facing the window.
I can lip read. What's he saying? A wooga. So, yes, it will have the... It says... series first female protagonist, but I think that like one of the like GTA 2 or something, you could do that. But first one in this like sort of modern.
Yeah,
right.
And the protagonist back in GTA 2 would have been
not 6 pixels.
Yeah, not really doing much in the way of like character stuff or dialogue or anything like that.
Not at all. So another multiple protagonist thing, two people influenced by Bonnie and Clyde. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little ragtag duo.
That's cool.
The working title is Project Americas, partly because the main location will be a fictional version of Miami. Hmm. So
Vice City.
That sounds to be their fictional version of Miami that they've gotten.
Yeah.
With an ever-expanding surrounding area around it.
Yeah, yeah,
is the
yeah.
idea, which makes a lot of sense from the way they've been doing GTA Online. To build this from the ground up, as of course this will expand.
Yep.
That's really cool. So you mean like the DLC or online stuff would be where the main game kind of borders all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You can go through that road and
it sounds like
a whole other area. And then that's a neat way of doing that.
Cities and stuff is what is the idea.
Yes.
Fuck, they could obviously have a whole fucking world built there eventually.
They could.
I wouldn't mind that.
Well, it would depend on what form that expansion took, because if it was all GTA Online focused, which is the most likely scenario, that probably isn't going to be something that interests me over that long term, because GTA Online hasn't.
Yep.
And if they are able to work in more story stuff and whatever, and it's just built from the start to be this long fucking, I guess, Destiny style evolving story with new places being added and whatever.
Especially that feeds into the kind of Bonnie and Clyde thing. So it's like you do this story stuff in this main city and it's like, hey, we, you know, end of the story, we gotta flee. We gotta flee the state. So then the next, you know, they open up DLC, another area. You gotta fucking drive out into that area. Cool, no one knows us here. We can start fresh.
Yeah, and I think the speculation, I don't know if it's from Shrek or just from, you know, punters, is that the initial game world or city might not be quite as big as, say, the single player of GTA 5 and to avoid crunch is what I was saying.
Yes.
So that makes me think that maybe it is likely that the expansions will be single player because they're just going to be slightly less single player.
Yeah, we'll launch
initially.
It with a bit less and then we can slowly kind of roll. I mean, that is a cool thing that's like you do everything that's there and then they slowly roll stuff out.
It both is the ideal, right? Like if they're just, you can flip a switch and suddenly you're online, but the game is built as a single player thing going forward as well. Because I really like Rockstar's single player stuff usually.
Yeah.
And this area makes sense too because like they've done Vice City before in GTA obviously, but then that surrounding Florida area is similar to the Red Dead New Orleans-y kind of thing, like geographically, I think. I'm not the king of maps, but I believe.
Well, I'll have a look. I'll see what
you got swamps and shit in Florida.
Well, south you do, but what about north from Florida, from Miami?
Well, that's north.
Well, then
from
what's
Miami?
What's south?
The ocean.
Oh yeah,
it's south of Miami.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what's in
a
Florida.
Big swamp,
Key Largo.
tell you what's in Florida: Disney World, baby.
That's true.
Yes.
That'd be fun—a Rockstar version of Disney World.
Oh, yeah, Cuba,
D's Nuts World. It'd be called
Cuba.
You're
is south.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Cuba, the ocean, and then you get Cuba further down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
D's Nuts World, absolutely spot on.
100%.
I could see that being a GTA Online thing.
D's Nuts World or Land of the Free, like.
Yeah. Don't even go with Orlando.
No, well, because they haven't for everything else. Like it's San Andreas,
point.
And it's whatever.
The Spoochie Beach.
Yeah. So I.
Okay.
It's apparently a lot more.
You got the South. So it's like North Carolina, Atlanta.
Yeah, Louisiana and shit is
Louisiana's
nearby, right?
To the west. Yeah, and then Texas. So
you got similar sorts of environments that were in Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for them to expand on what they've made for that in a GTA.
And yeah, seeing how popular GTA Online was for them, because that's the kind of the where DLC comes from originally, which I guess online stuff is an extension of.
Mm-hmm.
Developers wanting people to hang on to their games for longer, less in the physical sense, where you know people would buy something, thrash it, and then exchange it. And so that disc is, you know, maybe being like getting four lots of revenue out of it by the time people are buying it pre-owned. But the developers only ever gotten the one, right? So they wanted to encourage it. It's like if you want all this stuff, you have to own the game. So I could see them going like, yeah, we make this one thing and then that's the basis and we're just ever expanding from that.
Well,
this is now just like a platform that we just keep adding new, rather than like spend 5 years making a new GTA,
right,
we just add a new area onto this one.
Of course, it makes sense. Like, it is the modern way to develop video games, right? And it's cool that if that is accurate, the part of it is for them to go like, well, it'll take us fucking, you know, 6 years of heavy crunch to make this full thing, or 10 years of sensible work to make it over time.
Right.
So let's do it that way.
Yep.
And I think it's part of this report is like, I think a pretty positive thing about Rockstar being able to squash a bit of their kind of frat boy culture and
yes.
stuff
yeah.
like that. So it sounds like
that's
they're
the
being
headline
smart
of the article,
there.
Right? That's kind
yeah,
of the lead
yeah.
line is like Rockstar's.
Rockstar's gone woke.
Comedians are the new rock star.
No more Monster Energy drink, in with the soy flat whites. Rockstar.
So the other thing about them building it like this as well is that I think part of why GTA Online has not really ever appealed to me is because it's felt since like 2014 crammed in. Like, they had that initial GTA Online and then it did so much better than I think their expectations were set to that it has been really shoehorned and cobbled on to this game that wasn't meant to last 10 years
right. yes.
initially.
Yes.
So them deliberately building something that has a conscious expansion path.
Here's the area that you go to, and then that kind of opens up rather than it be like a separate thing in the menu.
It could be cool, depending on how they monetize that as well. Because if it again is like Destiny, which you've got to imagine that Rockstar's looked at that and gone, these people have paid $500 for a game they can only play half of anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
We can fuck them just as hard.
Yep. Is that the only thing that's really... Because, like, I feel like a lot of companies, I guess Halo Infinite was a recent one where it seemed like the strategy was going to be, yeah, we just make one game and then we add to it forever.
Mm.
Destiny 2 is probably the biggest success.
Yeah, well, and but then their one, yeah. there's MMOs like World of Warcraft and stuff
sure.
are kind of that.
I mean, a kind of an MMO take on a GTA thing would be cool.
That's kind of what this sounds like, but
yeah.
without the... always online,
yeah.
as in terms of having other people in your game, I imagine you will yeah. have to have an online connection sort of thing for it. But then Destiny 2, that was part of the problem with that game, is that it wasn't meant to be the foundational platform forever that it's turned into. So that's part of why they've deleted fucking tons of that game, is
right.
because they made a game that didn't... That development process didn't fit onto later.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's so funny if what they mean by the fact that the frat boy culture is over in there. It's just like, no, those frat boys, they graduated college and now they're corporate cunts.
Yeah, they're
not making dick jokes in the games anymore, but they are really good at flogging you for every fucking dime that you have with this product.
Yeah, I would.
That's the thing I'm most wary of with this game, is the balance between the quite... empty for me online experience versus the enjoyable single player experience and the monetization of it.
Mm.
But whatever.
But just the single player stuff, the broad strokes of Miami, female protagonist, Bonnie and Clyde kind of thing.
Yeah.
That sounds sick.
The Vice City relocation has been... it's been rumored for a while now, but then before that people were going, please do this.
Yes.
Yes.
And suggesting it. So, I don't know. Vice
but
City...
But it's not in the 80s. Well, I guess we don't know if it is or not.
That's true. You would imagine not, right? Because
yeah.
it would just be easier to put modern songs in and stuff like
yep.
that. They
yeah.
like doing the collaborations. And
they've sort of done
there.
That already, like if they went back to that same well. But also that would be really popular because that's one of the most popular installments.
Yeah. Vice City was one of the least interesting cities geographically that they've made, though.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I don't know how excited I've ever been to go back to that city on its own, but having the surrounding areas means you can get a
yeah. Also, it may not be the literal surrounding areas. I just realized they could have an airport.
Yeah, you can fly to wherever.
You can fly to Liberty City.
Well, and if it's called Project Americas,
yeah,
you would
yeah.
imagine that they're maybe going to Cuba or maybe yep. going to Central America somewhere. Forza driving around Mexico was fucking awesome.
Mm. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'd love to see Rockstar's nuanced take
yeah.
on that.
You thought
just immediately when you go in there, it'll yeah. 100, going from D's Nuts Land.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You say the frat boy thing has changed, or Jason Schreck says it. Oh, I don't fucking believe you, mate.
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
You thought the Brits piping in Forza was annoying. Like, wait until you're driving around and it's like, hola, amigo, this is Dick Suck FM.
Oh, my God.
It'll be like, fuck. go to Brazil and like, yeah, you walk out of the airport, someone's like kicking a soccer ball around, and then there's like a yeah. you know, a gang from
come
the
to
fucking...
Brazil. People just shouting that at you constantly.
Just yeah, I don't trust them with that yeah. necessarily. No, yeah. But whatever. Hey, but maybe so I'm too woke.
This article says roughly 2 years away.
At least 2 years.
So you would think maybe okay. yeah, we would be seeing something soonish. Yeah. Like, it's in a state where he's been able to get his little. Get his little fucking mitts well, on it.
Yeah.
GTA 5, 2013, Red Dead 2, 2018. Mm-hmm. So 2023 would be the same amount of time after that.
Yep.
But if it's going by the same inflation of their development times as you would expect from games being harder to make and then also them being wary of crunch because everyone and pointed COVID. It out to them and mm-hmm. COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would be at least and you would 2025 think, maybe sounds yeah. like a...
And you would think a lot of the work would be, yeah, if we're going to have this just be a platform that we're delivering future, you know, we want this to be really future-proof.
Yes,
in
exactly.
a way that the previous one wasn't, then surely a lot of the work back-end is going into that.
Yes.
Which is something they haven't previously had to do. Nor has, like, many things really had to go. Like, this is the game that's just going to exist for... hopefully 10 years.
Well, that's it. It's like, yeah, the most common example is people not future-proofing their,
yeah.
Yeah.
you know, games as a service games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Is it like $100 and then you've got your GTA Online Plus subscription fee on top of that and then expansion fees over that? Like, that's what they pay for Final Fantasy 14 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It really depends on how they strike. I can't imagine them making it like a full-on MMO.
No,
yeah,
no,
would be cool no. though. But you know, hey, if you can't wait for this, what you could do is play the San Andreas VR.
Oh yeah,
that's coming out sometime in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Is it? I haven't heard a lot about that for a while.
When did we first hear about it? About a year ago? Or
yeah,
something?
It was when yeah. Resident Evil 4 was coming out.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
okay.
With no cancellation, no news as well.
No.
But so you've got a 3-day window here.
If you've got a three, if that interests yeah. you, and you want to play it for the most cost-effective price possible,
yes.
pause this damn podcast. Mm-hmm. Get to the shops and get yourself an Oculus Quest 2. What? No, sorry.
Yep. Meta Quest
Meta,
2.
God
Meta,
damn it!
Oh, yeah,
a
yeah.
Meta Quest 2 headset right now, because imminently
mm-hmm.
the price will be. Being jacked up by $100 dues. US?
Yeah. $100 dollars.
Yeah. $100 dues.
Dollary dams or whatever a US dollar yep. is called.
$100 dance.
$100 dance. I like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. They wouldn't, you know, swear. Nothing against
yeah,
God.
Dollary yeah, dollary dues here. And then what's the British one? I know it's pounds, but.
Poundy woundies or whatever. Just
okay,
like
ducto.
100 of the Queen's finest, thanks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck Rockstar for probably
they're low
doing
fruit.
Their broad impressions. Of... but yeah, they're putting it up. I think they just said, like, yeah, it's inflation. It costs us
yeah,
a lot to make
yeah.
these.
They did a big blog post about it, yeah.
It makes sense that this has been a loss leader kind of product,
yes.
that this has been cheaper than they meant it to be or wanted, like,
because it's been
they
cheap.
Would have made it.
Like, comparatively, for,
yeah.
for what it is, it has been pretty, you know.
And not that long ago, so the 64 gigabyte version used to be the one that was, like, I only know Australian, but 480 roughly Australian dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then they... kind of crammed everything, so it was the 128 gig was that much, and then the 256 gig became how much the 128 used to be,
right.
I believe.
Right.
Inflation of storage.
Right, so it was a better deal for a while.
Right.
And now they're saying, yeah, it just costs too much to make, so fuck you. Which but you get a free copy of Beat Saber.
Right.
Yeah, which
is cool.
$100
which,
US dollars,
I mean, the problem with jacking it up is that you know, when we've reviewed it, when we've talked about how much we love it, a big part of the selling point of it is that it's so affordable.
Yeah.
It's such a good, was a great price point for what you get out of the box. It's all in there. There's no cables. It's very feels lightweight. But I think we've all still been a bit critical of the amount of stuff that there is to play on it that's
yeah.
truly essential. There is some great stuff on there, but it's few and far between.
The great stuff that's on there too is often PC VR stuff that you're
yep.
playing on a Quest.
Yes. Yeah.
So like either a downgraded visual version or a version that you're connecting a cable
yeah.
or doing
yep.
the wireless.
The Quest exclusive stuff that's really essential, I would say, is like Well, yeah, Resident Evil.
It's Resident Evil, yeah for me
and
as
that's,
well.
And that is great. It's, and it's if you've good. Got the money, it is a amazing experience.
And those
but
Star Wars things are cool. And, you know, there's bits and pieces on there. But, yeah, there's
this
lots of
this far on
options.
In its lifespan. And, like, it's interesting, though, because, like, I was thinking about an example being probably the Switch, right? When it first when a thing first launches, that's when it's most expensive. That's when the tech is worth the most. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like, you know, when things have been out for a while, the value of the tech has gone down. So the price of it gets reduced. But realistically, it's kind of worth, because you buy in day one and there's barely anything to play on it. And it's now, a Switch is is worth more in terms of the enjoyment that you're going to get out of it than it was on day one.
Yes.
Because there's a great library of stuff on it. But you're getting it for cheapest because the, you know, the tech in it isn't up to the scratch of modern standards. And yeah, with the Oculus in terms of like jacking the price up, it's, I don't think that value is quite there yet in terms of the amount of stuff there is to do on it.
It's just that like the last 2.5 years have happened.
Yeah.
So, and like,
how is it priced comparatively?
So PC hardware went up way more and has leveled out again.
That's true.
More recently.
That's
but
true.
So everything other than consoles went up already.
Yep.
And not and everything, then, probably RAM stayed at the same. I don't actually know. That might have gone up too. But there's been a higher than normal cost to almost every PC component you would want to buy.
It's weird though, because I kind of noticed this a bit, and I feel like this has to have been a response to COVID, because it never stuck out to me before. But even just in the realm of live comedy at these festivals in Australia that just recently happened, seen a few people's shows being like, Jesus Christ, $60 Australian for an hour-long show. And it never really registered to me before, and it feels like a bit of like, well, we had 2 years of, you know, loss of income, which is kind of fair enough, but also it's like, well, people are earning the same, and a lot of people are earning less or lost their jobs for 2 years. It's like, I don't know how you meet in the middle of like...
There's massive inflation on everything right now.
It also looks like it will still be the cheapest VR headset of its, you know, in terms of its, that
like
category,
class,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not as cheap as Google Cardboard, but, you know, the HTC Cosmos is like 700 Australian, like...
And though it's the only
some
one
of them
still
are like 1200 Australian. You
it's
know,
still
like,
the only one where you don't need anything else as well.
Yeah.
If it's a weird time, because if you're looking for VR stuff, but because the thing I would say is maybe the best thing to do is to wait and see about the PSVR 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then you need a PS5 as well. Sure. And who knows how much that thing's going to cost on top of a PS5.
Right. So that's essentially like, what, a $1,300, $1,400 package all up.
Yeah. So there's no cheap way to do this extravagant thing that isn't necessary.
Sure.
It is still a fringe
a nice
thing
toy.
With small enough library of games on it that you're not missing out on all that much if you
can't Beat Saber is a ton of fun. But yeah, like it's...
Half-Life Alyx is so good.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Yeah, it's like, well, the smartest and the most affordable way to play No Man's Sky VR, you know, look, just a bunch of these titles that are almost essential experiences if you're a gamer.
But then you do still need a good PC to render those to send to the headset. So it's weird though, because I would have thought that they would be getting close to the point of thinking about the successor, next one. So it's like at that point you'd think the strategy would be, well, we've still got all these sitting around.
When, do you remember they said, I think it was around when Resident Evil 4 was coming out, they were like, no, we'll be on this for a while.
Okay, right.
So they're cranking up the... It's fucking Facebook is...
That's true, yeah. I think that's the big part of it.
It'd be a weird thing if Nintendo went, guess what, the Switch costs more now, and it's got an OLED screen.
But that's what I mean. If they did do that, you'd be like, well, yeah, okay, there's a ton of games on it. It's worth paying that because you get access to this like awesome library that it's built up over the 5 years. If there had have been a few more like banger essentials post Resident Evil 4, I would probably feel differently about it. I'd be like, yeah, I mean, that's a worthwhile investment. There is the stuff to play on it. That's the thing that feels weird to me about it, is like, haven't really heard all that much from them since then of like, here's what's come out, and just justifying like, yeah, no, the hardware costs more now.
It's funny that they just aren't like, because most companies would do some bullshit iteration to justify the thing, It is weird to just see them, you know, take that off and be like, nah, whatever.
It's
just,
yeah, this is a
just
pink
costs
one, and
more
it's
more to make.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just real expensive, dude. So I'm going to charge you more.
Yeah,
it's I remember funny. When I worked.
I wonder
at
if
a...
it'll go back down. I wonder if people will stop buying it and they'll have to
well,
push it back down.
That's yeah, it's going to be the interesting test.
I don't know.
I remember when I worked at a burger store, we had an all staff meeting about the fact that stuff on the menu was going up by like 30 cents, and it was like our manager telling us like, now when people come in and they ask about this, just here's the reasoning that you can give them, you know, this cost, like cost of our produce and stuff.
Russia.
But it was this big, and I was like really skeptical. I'm like, it's like 30 cents, as if people are going to notice. And they were like, oh, people will notice.
Yeah.
And it was like literally all day, like regulars from like the office blocks in the area coming in, and, you know, they've got their like the cash like ready to go, yeah, and being like, nah, sorry, it's like 13.70 now. And then being like, fuck. What? Just yeah, like firing up about it. It was jeez, like literally all day. It was like, oh yeah, people do really register those small little differences.
It's expensive to live, and you've yeah, got to keep track of everything, and everything's rocketing up so much.
And good burgers cost good monies.
Yeah,
you know,
you need good money to buy good. But so, yeah, it's weird to see just this strange way of doing it, but it is a common thing that happens, I suppose.
Hey, they don't tell you when they raise the price of literally everything in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You just go in and it costs more.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I wonder if they had have just done this, if people would have, there would have been like Jason Schreck doing an investigation. It's the Oculus has gone up by $100 and they haven't told anyone.
Yeah.
It's almost weirdly kind of them to let people know. August 1st is when it kicks in. So
right,
you've got 3 days if you want to scrabble and buy a Meta Quest 2.
Yeah.
Meta Quest. Yeah.
Anyway. And if you like your little luxury toys and you've got the money, go do it. Go get one before the price goes up, because they are.
They're
you'll
cool,
have a great time with Resident Evil 4.
And then
you'll have
you
a great time with Beat Saber.
Scalp it immediately for at least $100 profit.
Damn, you could flip a bunch of quests.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Someone's doing that. You know someone's doing that.
I think we should do it.
Yeah, why not?
All right, I'll put all of my savings into it.
I've got we'll a fucking air fryer box here. I can fit a few quests on top of that.
Yeah.
Well, we heard from about a leak before from Jason Schreck. I hope that it inspires Rockstar to drop something official about GTA 6. But something similar already happened. There was a 5-6 minute leaked video of Last of Us Part 1 gameplay.
Yeah.
Just someone chucked up as like a streamable, obviously a leak from someone. And then
these are always the strangest leaks.
Yeah,
just someone just playing the game for like 10 minutes.
Right,
just got to like be a QA person.
Got the little
whatever,
capture code
right?
in there.
Gotta
yeah,
be, yeah. But less than a week later, Naughty Dog were like, "Here's a full-on presentation."
It does help for them that game's been out for nearly 10 years, so they can go like, "You know what? You know what happens."
This isn't
it?
A huge bummer.
Well, it was funny because like the reaction to the leaked footage, a lot of people were like, "The gameplay's the same. It doesn't look barely any different. They're charging full price just for higher res textures."
And what did you think of these people? Because I can't tell based on the way you're.
I want to fuck them. but very quickly, Naughty Dog, released a proper presentation of it, underlined like all the changes, all the like, you know,
a lot of accessibility
textures
stuff,
and stuff,
a
lot
which
of accessibility
is, which
stuff.
Is kind of, I think, has become much more of a thing in games since the first one, even the remastered version of the first one came out.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there's an argument to be made that even just that alone justifies the re-release.
Yeah.
Making it, certain people who... The fucking the amount of options that you get in terms of
well, I feel like Part 2 was like a leader in
it
accessibility.
Was,
but yes, so they went through all the changes, and having just played The Last of Us Part 2, start to finish again, and loving it, this does look like that. You know, people were like, oh, it's kind of still looks a bit, you know, it's like no, visually it looks on par with current gen stuff.
Because the problem is that
and
it
gameplay
looks,
wise,
it looks. It looks uninteresting to people because it looks like how they remember.
I've seen
the
a lot of
original
people,
looking,
yeah,
which is the whole point of it existing.
100%. I had that same feeling too, because like it was such a well built game that my memory of it is of these characters' designs rather than how they actually were graphically represented.
Yeah,
and they're staying very faithful and recreating that stuff. So. Of course, it looks the same because it's the same areas and
we
it's
saw
the same
Ellie
people.
And Joel in Part 2,
yeah,
so that's
yeah.
also a recent memory of them that you
kind of. But just being like, yeah, oh, it's the same game. It's like, yeah, they're not changing the story or adding in areas. The whole point is to just bring it up into slightly more modern standards.
I don't know if you can go prone, and I don't know if you can dodge. So there are a couple of things that I think they just didn't put in from 2.
I guess you're playing as Joel. Could Joel do that stuff when you're playing as him in part 2? Oh,
I don't remember. I think so. I think everyone had the dodge. The only difference
Joel
is
Joel doesn't
like,
know how to go prone. That's how they explain it.
Maybe his knees are too bad.
I'm going to stay on my feet the whole goddamn time.
A trainer at the gym used going prone the other day.
Hell yeah.
He was describing doing
a
burpee.
It's catching on.
He was like, get to the ground and you go prone. It's like, it's a burpee. Just say you lay on the floor.
No, burpee is a way weirder word than
it's
prone.
Isn't it? It's military, isn't it?
No, like it's just a normal word. Yeah. You just hadn't heard this word before. Whatever it was, Last of Us 2.
No, it was made up for Last of Us 2 and it's catching on.
This is my Mandela effect. It's the phrase going prone.
What's happened from my point of view is that you've gone, chair? What's a chair?
Yeah.
It's called a stool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always call it a stool. I've only ever heard stool.
It's your Mandela effect in that you should be jailed for thinking this.
Weren't they called just the bears? They didn't have a name.
I wish I was already dead.
But it looks good. And I think, I can't remember what we all said about it in terms of buying this. I think that I said that I probably wouldn't. Having just played through part 2 and loving it in terms of the technological presentation of it, I think I definitely will buy this and play it.
I said at the time that I probably wouldn't, but I also said I know I will flip when it gets to September and there's nothing else to talk about on the pod that week. And maybe I'm on track.
Yeah.
I know I will want to see it.
Yeah.
We'll probably go like, oh yeah, this is that first game again. But that first game is good and like, whatever.
Yeah.
Going to see Star Wars got re-released in the cinemas and everyone's like, yeah!
At least you could get a free cup with that. Like not a free cup, but a novelty cup.
Yeah.
I want this to come with a free...
A click ahead or something?
Yeah, like just a disgusting fucking cup.
Or like those Looney Tunes style ones that you'd get at KFC.
The big
like
plastic
rubber
ones.
It is slightly surprising to me that this is coming out so soon after it got announced because the announcement of it, I just thought, well, this is tied into the show. Like they're hoping that people will see the show, you know, be super into that, want to play the game, and it's just in their best interests to just have... I kind of thought they would have been more closely aligned in terms of release.
Yeah.
Because the show's still a ways off.
Next year?
I think,
February or something.
Which I guess makes sense that it's just on the shelves, ready to go. But I kind of thought they would have been a bit more tied in.
It'll be, by the time the show comes out, that's a lot of different versions of the same story showing up. But
it's true.
It could hurt the show. Bit of fatigue.
Yeah, I guess they're just assuming it'll be pretty different. I mean, obviously the same audience in terms of people who play the game, but the show will be to a wider audience.
Well, the show will be tons of people I've never picked it up before. But I think I probably will end up going in.
They're so straight up about what this is that it's hard to have a problem with that,
right.
I suppose.
That's true. You don't have to buy it.
It's crazy to care that much. I keep thinking that, it exists for people. If you're angry about it, it exists for people who aren't you. It exists for people who are like 17, 18 now, got a PlayStation 5 for Christmas. They're the
living
age where even stuff from
a lot of these kids.
Wow.
Well, you know,
no air fryers sitting on their bench.
Living like, you know, being the age where even stuff from like a few years ago looks kind of janky and unplayable. Mm-hmm. You know, you're very unforgiving of older stuff when you're that age. And yeah, you were like, what, 7 when the first one originally came out? So
I played Super Mario All-Stars when I was a kid on the SNES, which was just Super Mario Brothers 1, 2 and 3 and the Lost Levels. But I know if I'd have been hosting a video game podcast somehow in 1991.
Little community radio show.
Yeah, or I guess 93 or whenever it came out.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, these games are already exist. Blah, blah, blah.
But they had a new coat of paint.
They did have a new coat of paint.
They looked great
them
and they
up
were
to, up to scratch with the most recent Mario game, Mario World.
Yeah.
So and the fact that there were so many of them on the one cartridge would have been like, this is fucking incredible value.
That's true. Yeah. It's a shame the multiplayer isn't in this and I'd love to see what their multiplayer stuff is. That is the one I'd love to know what, because that multiplayer mode in Last of Us 1 was really cool.
Mm.
But whatever, that'll
come
out soon.
There's no multiplayer in 2, is there?
No.
So,
and they're making that standalone multiplayer
thing. Yeah, true.
Which maybe, I suppose, could have PSVR 2 mode, which I was going to bring up before. There was some new PSVR 2 info, apparently. Yeah, I haven't actually seen this.
It's a blog post, and it has a lot of, like shows you what the user interface is.
Okay.
And, like, you know, their version of the safe area and shit like that.
Right.
So it's just a bit more information showing you, like, this is literally how it'll look when you're using it.
Cool.
I've got a MetaQuest 2. I can't justify buying a PSVR 2.
Astrobot would tip me over the line for sure. And it's a cool thing, and I hope that it gives more people access. I hope Valve puts out Alex on it. And
yeah.
Having the one cable is really cool. But yeah, there's a lot of VR stuff.
Yeah, like if all it is just Beat Saber,
right,
slightly higher res. But yeah.
And you'd Horizon.
Have to, yeah, the Horizon thing looks really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to assume there's an Astrobot. I mean, it's going to be, it's like anything. It's like you've got a console, but you get a Switch because the exclusive stuff on it is worth going in on. So if they just... Yeah, if they really push their first-party stuff on it...
Well, they just had that presentation, right? That was like 90% PSVR 2 stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They didn't mention Astrobot.
No.
They mentioned a bunch of other third-party games.
Astrobot will show up at some point, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see.
I still... The one cable... The fact that there's a cable is still off-putting. The main reason I really love the Oculus 2 is because it's so portable and so... unencumbered.
Right.
Even before I got the wireless thing running on it properly when I was playing Alex with just the one cord in, once you get used to just that freedom of having none, having one really, just having something else in the room to be aware of,
it does
break the immersion a little bit.
You
get a little extra weight kind of going in the side of the headset.
And like, again, this is a luxury toy.
Yeah.
So right. It's nitpicking, but also... Yeah, I'll be curious to see if they do justify it to enough people to get that a little bit more of a groundswell, a bit more of like, hey, yeah, everyone plays VR now. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm excited about it just because I love...
You're an early adopter.
...this sort of shit. God, I love looking at shit. Seeing how shit works.
The old one
damn,
feels
cool.
A billion years old now in its size and the resolution.
Having
the
that
screen
dumb
and everything. So I'm,
box
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to just see how, even just if it's backwards compatible with... older, even just playing the original Astrobot in it, where it's a bit clearer, and a bit and like significantly more lightweight, would be awesome.
Mm.
So one last bit of news before stuff we've been playing. I'm gonna say this, and I reckon you're gonna think I'm lying.
Okay,
but this is true. So not this first bit, but the thing after it. So that
the first bit's not true.
The first bit is true. Knights of the Old Republic remake got delayed indefinitely.
Yes. Okay. I know that's true. Yep.
And the bit that I think you think... I always thought this was going to happen, but I've never said it before.
100%.
I didn't think this game would ever exist.
100% lying. Because you always say it when you think that. You say it about every game that hasn't come out yet.
I don't know why I didn't say it about this. It was during one of those bits where I'm like, I should try to be more positive. So I didn't say... But like this... makes sense to me, and I'm not surprised because it's the same company who were developing this who put out that Knights of the Old Republic 2 version on the Switch that couldn't be finished.
Aspyr. They do all the ports.
Apparently the mobile version of 2 doesn't go past the main menu either currently or did for a while have that problem.
Right.
So they don't seem to know what they're doing to the scale that a full remake of a game would require. So it makes sense to me, and I always thought it.
I just thought it would be bad. Because we did, we definitely covered, they're just a one of the worst, or one of the, lesser porting companies. Because what was, is it Blue...
Blue something.
Blue Point. Mm. There are a few of them.
Who are now owned by Sony and, working on something original now, I believe.
What's the... the one that did Crash Bandicoot, Vicarious
Visions,
that thing they got sucked up into making Call of Duty shit now.
Because
they did Tony Hawk 1 and 2 as well.
That's
right.
Right.
Nintendo has a company called Grezzo, I think, who did The Link's Awakening.
Grezzo.
Yeah, fucking, I'll get on it, mate. Don't worry. I'll make it look like a fucking weird little claymation.
he's in a dream. Fuck me.
What the fuck? You type in your name as Zelda in all caps, right? Gives you a flamenco fucking version of the theme. A little bit spicy, yeah?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, it's fucking cool as
cunt. That's sick.
Grazzo's got
a spy. Were always one of the worst ones.
Right.
So for them to be tasked with a full-on current-gen remake, I'm not surprised that it's been delayed, but I think it will come out. It just might not be very good.
Yeah. Panic Button are another good one. They did Panic Doom ports on the Switch. They are good at working with what they've got in front of them.
Mm. Yeah. I just don't... Yeah, I think this means it's dead. Long term, I reckon. I would be very surprised to see this pop back up.
Okay.
Would you say that the Force is not strong with this one?
I wouldn't say it, but you can say what you want.
Okay.
Cancelled it is a way that you could maybe say it. I might say it with a higher pitch and a bit of a rasp to it.
Yep.
But
it's gone prone 6 feet under.
Oh,
sure, ultra
prone.
I love that word.
I'm not
prone.
Sure you understand.
Did you
what
come
it
up with prone? It just comes. It's like
perma-prone. Yeah, perma-prone.
Also,
yeah.
Gollum got delayed for some months, is what they said, and that looked like shit.
That's
so
weird. A few months just to make sure it's still not very good when it comes out.
I was reading about Tolkien stuff is owned by like three different groups of people now.
Okay,
there's something weird happened where some of his stuff. So it's one of the two R's is not good.
Okay.
Right. It doesn't give a shit about Tolkien
right.
and his legacy or whatever. And they're the licensing people responsible for Gollum.
It's like a law firm. JRR are all three separate partners that came together.
What are the... Anyway.
What do they stand for?
Yeah.
John, Ronald, and then is the second R is this weird name called like Ruel or something.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up.
John Ronald Ruel Tolkien.
Yeah. I used to know...
That's way better than just J.R.R.
John Tolkien. Oh, my favourite books are written by a guy named John.
Rove Tolkien.
Oh, probably John Tolkien is
so
my
it's
favourite.
R-E-U-E-L.
Ruel.
Ruel?
Ruel.
Ruel.
Yeah, good for him. Anyway, a bunch of stuff getting cancelled because
it's
hard
to make
video
games. He was born
in
South Africa.
Huh. Tolkien?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. In 1892.
You're old as hell.
You're old as hell, cunt.
Get out of here, boomer.
You're fucking chuggy ass.
Not even. Well, something else that's for old people is what I've been playing a bit of these last couple of days.
Okay.
And this is sort
of Mahjong?
Almost.
Okay. Bingo.
A bunch of random mobile games that suck.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know what happened. There's this little one where you're like filling... I think it's just called Color Tubes or something like that. And you've got...
All right.
Are these all games that you saw ads for on Instagram?
Yep. So the first one, nice. I was playing this little pipe color fluid game, right? And you've got different colored fluids in different pipes.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to mix...
I've played that.
The same. It's the one that Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas played.
Yep.
You've got to fill up the same colors of the same pipes. And anyway, you can add an extra pipe if you get stuck and it plays an ad.
Oh, God.
And what sort of ads are you getting?
So they're for shit mobile games where the little finger that's playing the game is really bad at the mobile game to try and get you to go, oh, I'd be better than this. And you download
like
it or whatever.
Like Toon Time or something.
Pig Escape.
I've seen heaps of them too because I've been playing a lot of Candy Crush, which is chucked in ads.
Right.
And another one called like... Delivery Time, and you like push a truck off a hill and then you try and get as far as you can.
There are 100,000 of these games out there, and they're all just devious and devoid of soul.
Yep.
And a certain genre of them that I got into is the ones where you merge stuff together.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I just went, oh, fuck it, I'll try. But there was this one, I think the one I started with is called, the names are pretty funny. So, You're merging different objects. You've got a grid in all of these, and you'll have different items show up on this grid, and you've got to merge them together to make the next level up of that item. So if you've got three bags of flour, merge them together, it makes a bit of dough.
Okay.
And you merge the doughs together, you get a small bread,
mm-hmm.
then a big bread, then a loaf, and so on and so on.
Is this the thing, and it's like sort of like moving...
They're not moving through. You have a certain amount of energy... to open up like bags that'll also be on the grid. So you're deciding when to pop out more base level ingredients or items, but then you only have 100 a day or whatever. But you can pay them money if you want to keep going.
I like the idea that someone plays this game and that inspires them to try and make, they think they know how to make bread now and they're just merging flour with more flour and no water and being like, when the fuck do I get dough?
I've merged the flour.
A lot of these are about cooking, and guess why that air fryer is back up in private place thinking it's going to get open soon. So There's a ton of different ones of just the exact same thing. And there'll usually be some stupid little story in the background when you get past a level of whatever. So let me read the names to you.
Okay. Right.
You tell me which of these stand out. There's Merge Mayor, where you're the mayor of a town. Mm-hmm. There's Merge Mansion. You're in a mansion.
What do you merge in Merge Mayor?
Lots of different things, like bits of sand to make construction equipment and so on.
Merge Mansion is one that I regularly get ads for on Instagram.
Let me read through these real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Merge Mayor. These are the ones I've been playing. Merge Mayor, Merge Mansion, Merge Inn, Evermerge, Gossip Harbor.
Oh, Gossip Harbor, I like the sound of.
Yes.
And then there's one called I've heard Love it's not and very Pies good. As well. So
XOXO, Gossip Harbor.
The reason I ended up getting so many is because they each have ads for each other.
Yeah,
they got this weird little cabal, and I was like, well, I could just have six of them and then not have to pay for any of them.
Just wait until they all cycle around.
They'll all cycle through on a loop.
Do you want to hear my impression of Gossip Harbor?
Yeah, okay.
There's a Kate Bush song in season four.
Oh.
Harbor. David Harbor.
Yes.
I see. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Took me a little. What about
this? Mr. David Harbor, everybody.
Hey, listen, you didn't hear it from me, but there's a boat coming in.
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah.
Hey.
That's the lighthouse keeper.
I did come down to the docks and knock the dick out of your mouth.
Anyway, so yeah, they're all terrible.
Why do you play any of them then?
I just kind of wanted to see and then went down this rabbit hole because I was like, these are kind of funny.
Because
like
to
one
me
of them,
lot,
you're like this rat lady cooking and it's like they're all got that weird sort of half knockoff feeling about them where it's like, yeah, I get. And all of them have some weird, so it's either half knockoff weird character where it's like, you're Ratatouille, but the rat is just the chef. You're not even controlling anybody.
You didn't see Ratatouille.
Yeah.
You've just made your impression
of
it.
You guessed what Ratatouille would be.
Yeah.
And then the ones like Merge Mansion and Gossip Harbor and Love and Pies.
Yeah.
They've all got these weird, stupid fucking stories going on in the background where like right at the start, and these are the ones with the ad where you'll see like the theme of this like stupid mobile game is that like your husband divorced you and cheated on you and then you went home and your dad had burned down the family house because he's harboring a secret. David harboring a secret that Kate Bush was in season four. So they're bad. Don't play them. But because I've been like packing to go away and stuff, it was a nice thing to just have 20 minutes of switching my brain off by like putting two apples together and like, oh yeah, of course two apples makes a pear.
That mood you're in where even just
pear, P-E-A-R too. Like two apples is a pear.
Yeah.
Two pears makes an orange, two oranges makes a peach and so on.
Okay.
That's how fruit work.
Fruits are up, they're like Pokemon.
Yep. Yeah.
A watermelon is so expensive because you need a ton of cherries.
80 apples.
Yeah.
That mood that you're in sometimes where just even a regular game that you're enjoying is just too much mental activity.
Yeah.
I keep getting ads for the style of mobile game that is, it's like you're kind of running up the screen.
Okay.
And then you'll get these two little gates on either side and you have to pick which one to go through and it might be like, so you've got like a crowd of five people that you're controlling and it'll be like divide by two or times by 10.
Yes.
And so it's like you go times by 10 and now there's, you know, this many of me and it's like, I kind of look at them. I'm like, just watching this little video of this, it kind of looks like this could be kind of fun, but I bet in execution it's shithouse.
Almost all of them are completely misrepresenting the actual game.
Too. Right.
Almost all of them that are like that. There's this one called Fishdom.
Oh, yeah, I get that all the time. I was going to bring that one up.
And so it's a small little fish who eats a slightly smaller fish but then can eat a bigger fish and so on and so on. Not in the game. It's just it's just Candy Crush. I also play Fishdom.
There's another
where
I get
fish fucking whips your ass.
I forget what they're called, but I get one often that it's like a really run down room and it's like, okay. Fix the leaky tap. Fix the broken window. And it's like, what is the game part of this?
You're just touching the screen.
But that wouldn't even be in there. That game is just like a match three game.
And then,
which is what they all are, because these aren't made for creative or artistic purposes.
Right.
They're made for the gross monetization in there, which I've been fascinated by.
There's the other one is the makeover one. I don't know if you've seen the makeover ones.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Candy Crush. I'm almost at level 2000, which is like nothing for real Candy Crush players.
Yep.
It's fucking addictive. That is my like absolute brain off, you know, yeah, I've been playing Last of Us 2 all day. I'm like, I'm going to lie on my bed, play Candy Crush, listen to a podcast. Totally yeah. mindless.
A little puzzler
never pay any
in bed.
Money for it.
Yeah, a little puzzler yeah. in bed last thing of the night.
Yeah.
Really good fun. I was playing Grindstone a lot.
Oh, sure.
Last year in a lockdown on the iPad. Yep. Just that was my getting to bed and just take down a few levels of Grindstone.
Anyway.
It's fucking awesome.
I've tried to make myself smarter, and I've got to get an app called Pocket Chess, which is really cool because it's not, you're not playing chess, you're given these scenarios where it's like a section of the board and it's like, well, you got to get checkmate in two moves.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have, you'll have like four pieces and you're like, okay, well, I can move it here.
Oh, right, I see.
Move it there. And they just get ever expanding, you know, in complexity, and they do get bigger and bigger. I've been really enjoying it. That's it cool. is fucking hard. Chess is hard.
Yeah.
Chess is a difficult game.
It's really hard.
One of the famous, easy to learn, hard to master.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a good one. And then while we're on mobile games, I feel like I've been playing... Oh, I finished Card of Darkness?
Yeah.
Card of Darkness. When I still had Apple Arcade, it is worth jumping on Apple Arcade for a month.
It's a good puzzle.
Really, really fun.
I got too much trash to deal with first.
Yeah.
God, they're fucking dog shit. I don't recommend any of them, to be clear, but just playing something that is designed to be a poker machine and to
yeah.
be addictive
yeah.
has a certain level of satisfaction to it
yep. Yep.
versus playing a real game.
Yes.
Such as...
Well, hey, speaking of playing lots of different little games, I've been playing a game
oh.
that has lots of smaller games within it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have a go at saying the name. Let's see if... I think I looked up what it is.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. You think you looked up?
I looked it up and I think this is right. This is what the thing I looked up said it was pronounced as, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Have a go.
Live Alive.
You've got it.
Yeah.
You've okay. nailed it off yeah. the bat.
Yeah.
It's... Such a bad
I'd
title.
Never read it as that. I've heard of... I always read it as Live a Live. Live yeah. a Live Shaggy.
Live Alive also makes sense.
I get it. It's a,
it should be yeah. Live a Life, right?
I guess
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
It really...
Or like Live Alive.
Right.
Like the word alive rather yeah. than an A and then a hyphen. But it's Live hyphen A hyphen Live.
Mm. It's a... it's a Super Nintendo game originally.
Mm. Live Alive, a Love, it was called back then. Live Alive, a Love, a Laugh.
It came out 1994
wow.
on the Super Famicom, only in Japan.
I was
and yeah, it definitely
7 years old.
Hmm?
It's had a
I was 7 years old.
It's had a translation for a very long time. I was five. Like just a fan translation.
A fan one, yeah.
Right. The ROM.
And definitely, I think if it had have come out in the West at the time, it definitely would have had a different title. This being the right. era of like, well, no one is going to know what the fuck this is. Mm. The title really reads as like a
Final
weird,
Fantasy
like...
VI. That won't make sense in the West. We'll call it 3.
Yeah.
What was Dragon Quest called, the first one?
Dragon Warrior.
Dragon Warrior, yep. So it is a, yeah, 94 SNES game. Bit of a cult classic, like people are always wanting it to come out and be translated. Never officially has been. This is a remake that does the HD 2D thing that Square are doing with a lot of their stuff now.
Octopath and Triangle Strategy, that look.
Yep. So it's seven different chapters that are all set in different time frames.
Mm-hmm.
And they're these little self-contained, they're probably about... roughly an hour and a half each.
Okay.
That are, unconnected from one another, but there is a bit of a twist later in the game. Mm. That I read one review that was like, hey, there's a twist. I'm not going to say what it is. Go in as cold as you can. If you're going to play it, don't look up what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read another review that just mentions all that in the first paragraph.
Oof.
So that's cool. But
what was the other website?
Polygon.
Fucking Polygon.
Yeah.
Typical.
I will say that it's something that you, given that it's these seven unconnected storylines, the little twist thing is something that you could probably intuit.
Okay.
But yeah, they all range
Bruce
from...
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In 94, he was at the peak of his career.
That's
so.
True.
Yeah, was he... He wasn't dead all the time yet, was he?
No, not by... That wouldn't have made 99? Sense when original Live Alive came out. I guess the classic twist back then would be like Darth Vader's Luke's father.
Oh, sure.
That would be your joke
Bruce
twist.
Bruce Willis was
to.
Die Hard the whole time.
That would have made more sense,
yeah.
but not necessarily full sense because you'd be like, what? Why did you say it like that?
Right. What's the point of that sentence?
His name wasn't Die Hard. Bruce Willis wasn't Die Hard. Bruce Willis was John McClane the whole time.
Right.
And you're reading
this. Is the
argument
I would have had back on my old video games podcast where I said that the Super Mario All-Stars collection was bullshit.
You're reading this on Japanese text on a video game that you've imported. And so surely you'd be thinking,
I've mistranslated this.
I don't know Japanese as well as I thought I did. I don't know why it says Bruce Willis is Die Hard in the middle of this Wild West scenario of this video game that I'm playing. So yeah, I've done three of the chapters. At the start of the fourth one, I've done prehistory. You're a little caveman.
Great.
And there's no text in that one. It's all just kind of like visual cues and very like sort of, physical comedy kind of stuff.
Okay.
Imperial China, you're like an old martial arts master who takes on three students and sort of trains them up in this new martial art, and you have to take down this opposing school who are sort of evil.
Yep.
Wild West.
Hell yeah.
You're a cowboy who rides into town.
Oh.
There's a gang that are going to be riding through the town, and the townsfolk ask you to help them defeat this gang that are called the Crazy Bunch.
Oh, wow.
Very of its time Japanese take on what a gang of outlaws would be called.
Yeah.
The Crazy Bunch.
Yep.
That's a stupid name. The Rowdy Rebels and me back in the day when this came out. I wouldn't have liked that.
I mean, also, the Wild Bunch were the good guys in the movie.
But these are the Crazy Bunch.
These are the Crazy Bunch.
Okay. So they're not wild. They're crazy.
Fuck.
They're pretty put together. Like, they don't do anything, like, wild.
Right.
They're reined in that way, but they're lunatics.
They're lunatics.
And it's... Yeah, it's. I'm really enjoying it. It took a little while to wash over me. I've been playing it for about 6.5 hours. And it is, once you get into it, the whole thing of it just being like a little short story collection is cool. The characters are all really well done. The stories and the scenarios that you're in are all interesting. They're all very different from one another. The combat is like on a grid where it's turn-based, but you're kind of like moving around. So you've got sort of similar to Fire Emblem, I guess. You've got like a range that your attacks can go in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might have to position yourself like diagonally. And each time you're moving, there's like a little charge gauge that decides like when you're able to do your move. So by moving around and taking more time to get yourself on the battlefield, you might align yourself up properly for the attack, but you've then also given enough time to for the enemy's charge gauge to go up, so they might get an attack in before you get yourself kind of perfectly aligned.
And is it like a full battlefield, or is like a little small?
It's like a 7x7 grid.
Okay, yeah.
So
right.
it's pretty decent in the movement. The boss at the end of each chapter is like a kind of huge thing that takes up like a significant part of it, and like all the design is really great. It
sounds
like the characters
a lot like
look awesome.
That second South Park game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that came first, so obviously Live Alive has taken South Park 2's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, again, the combat took a little while to click with me, but it's really cool how all of them are doing sort of a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all have combat in them, and they all have bits where you're kind of like walking around in an area. But the Wild West one, for example, the townsfolk tell you that these guys are going to be coming through at sunup the next day. And so can you help
us? That's the thing about the Crazy Bunch. They're always on time.
Yeah. And they're up. They're morning people.
They're early risers.
That's what's crazy about them.
Early risers. They don't have blinds in their house. Now, that's crazy.
You know what the Crazy Bunch always say? Early bird gets the...
They ask you to help kind of booby trap the town.
Okay.
So that when they ride through, they're going to get fucked up. So then you've got a set period of time to go around the town, find things that you can use for traps.
Right.
You have to then get them to the townspeople who lay the traps. They need enough time to lay the traps. And then you see a little thing of the Crazy Bunch riding in. And depending on how effective you've been with laying the traps, that dictates how many of them you're going to have to take on in combat. So if you do it really effectively, you get the number of them right down.
Mm.
And if you completely fuck it, you've just got this battle where you've got to take on like all of them at once, which is like basically impossible.
And there'd be a lot of the Crazy Bunch, right? Because there's a mum and a dad and they've each got three kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's Alice. The
maid is the boss.
Yeah.
Right. She's the one that takes up like half the screen.
Remember the maid's boyfriend?
No.
He was like a mechanic or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Sam?
Sam!
Yeah.
And he'd come around to their house.
He'd like poke his head in, be like, "Hey, I'm Sam."
G'day, Marsha.
I'm visiting my wife at work.
Yeah.
I'm fucking your maid. So some of them are very, like, the prehistory one is like, I kind of had to go back and do a little grinding because I got to the boss and I just was getting destroyed. Right. So kind of realize you have to go back and do some of the smaller battles to get your level up. Some of them you don't get EXP, like the Imperial China one.
Okay.
It's just like, he's the master. So you're kind of like set and locked in.
Right.
It's really cool going into one, going into each of them and not really... You know, you've got these very broad strokes of things that are there, but they're each using a different little mechanic to sort of get the story across. And, yeah, it looks great. Like, I think when it came out originally on the SNES, like, it looked pretty dodgy by the standards that Super Nintendo games were at, which is probably – it didn't sell particularly well. I think it's probably another big reason why it didn't get ported to the West.
Of course, yeah.
But it's cool. It's
there are a lot of those late-era SNES RPGs that didn't come over because, like, Chrono Trigger did, and that was big. But around that, you had that, like, Bahamut Lagoon is one of these other ones that got translated by fans, but was always like a, oh, what was that? Because Chrono Trigger was so good.
Right.
People wanted more. And these aren't necessarily, to my understanding, all that level of quality. Because this sounds like Chrono Trigger where you're going through time in that.
Yeah.
But it's cool because you can, it's interesting how experimental it is for a time when JRPGs are really only just finding their feet at that time.
In a way, that they'd been around for like that classic style of them had been around for like coming up on 10 years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or I guess less, but like 6 or 7 years.
But SNES era is really hitting their stride.
This is where they start fucking with it with like Earthbound and Chrono Trigger and this and like Terranigma and like I fucking hated Secret of Mana, but that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're trying to see different ways of like...
Yeah, make it more action-focused or...
And this is like you can pick any of the chapters...
The real-time stuff starts happening in Final Fantasy VI.
Yes. Yep.
Or maybe it happened in 4 as well, actually. I think
this is like you can play the chapters in any order. You can, you can dip in and out of them. You can just do an hour and it'll save where you're at. And you can go in and start another one, which is beneficial because I sort of hit a bit of a wall with the... I was going to originally just do them all chronologically and sort of hit a bit of a wall with the prehistoric one, ducked out, did Imperial China, and that was the thing where it kind of all galvanized for me. And I was like, okay, I like this now. I think I get what I'm doing wrong in the prehistory one. Went back in and finished that. And, yeah, you do lose that thing of, you know, what I love about a long JRPG is like you're really building these characters up and if you commit time to a bit of grinding, even though it can sometimes be frustrating, you then feel like you've got this like great, powerful party and you've made your choices about what, you know, what equipment you've got and what, you know, moves you're keeping and jettisoning and all that kind of stuff. You do lose that, you know, you have that reset and some of the scenarios don't really let you do much of that kind of stuff at all.
Right.
But the thing of just, treating it like a cool little short story compilation and they're all so thematically and mechanically different from one another. And then...
Is the writing good? Is it like...
The writing's really good. Okay, yeah. Cool. And then knowing that there's this, you know, there's this little kind of twist coming up where it is worth going through all of them and completing them all because there's a little reward for the end of that, not just like, cool, you've done all 7 of them, end.
Yeah.
I'm just a sucker for that HD 2D style. I love it. And I was watching a bit of kind of side by side or just watching some of the original SNES one and it's like, it is that great thing where it looks like how you'd remember it looking if you played it at the time. Like they haven't completely fucked with it. You know, the sprites are still pretty much the same, but the environments just look beautiful. They've redone all the music, but again, it's like it's the same tracks, but just with full instrumentations. I reckon it's fun. There's a demo of it where you can do 3 of the scenarios. You can do like first little bit of 3 of them.
I see. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's probably worth dipping your toe in.
Yeah, I might.
But it
do
is
that.
Like a lot of JRPG stuff where it was frustrating having to play it for this because they just do often take a long time to really get to what they're doing and to sort of wash over you. But it is a real benefit that you can dip in and out of them. If you've picked one that's not quite gelling with you, you can go back to the main menu and select a different thematic one. Like the one I'm playing now is the near future that's very like lots of mechs and robots and stuff, which coming off the back of prehistory, Imperial China, Wild West, it's like, oh, this is cool. This is all in the same game. Now there's like futuristic kind of robot stuff. It's neat.
Which would have been set like today.
Probably. I was going to say, near future of 94,
Well, near future of 94 is probably like we're beyond that now.
Yeah. Yeah, true. We've got fucking MetaQuest 2s.
Yeah.
It's crazy here.
I wonder what.
Air fryers. Remember that?
That maybe I'll have a look at it.
Feel old yet?
Maybe I'll look at the SNES version.
Hell yeah.
Started playing Chrono Trigger. For the first time.
Yeah, right.
I think I just bought it on Steam or something.
Yeah.
It, as you said, it's taking a while to get going, but it holds up. Like, again, like you questioned with Live Alive, the writing is good, and that's kind of the main thing. Like, the sprites are so simplistic, but you do get the characterization.
Yeah, and this is the same guy.
Yeah, right.
So, and I think a big part of why, because they talked for ages about would they re-release this or remaster it in any capacity. They did this cool thing where for each of the 7 scenarios, they got a different well-known from the time manga artist to design them.
Right.
So they're all done by different people. And like if you look at the box art, you can kind of tell that there's like 7 little squares and they all look, all the characters kind of look completely different from one another. And I think it was something to do with like it was just going to take them a little while to like get the, they had to like re-get the rights to these designs from these people was like a big hold up about it for a long time. But it is, I think it's great that it's, that they gave it this, that it's finally out in the West and that it's awesome to see the genesis of a thing like that, that, this guy went on to do Chrono Trigger and even just this like, it's crazy to think about playing this in 1994 and having this thing that's got these like wildly different little short stories that you can select and play in any order would have been, huge for the time. And it still gets that across. Like it's still, there are points where I'm forgetting like, oh, this is a super old game. Like it doesn't feel too, there's little bits of it that are like the pacing and some of that stuff. But yeah, for the most part, it's I think it's worth a look, especially if you really like JRPGs.
Right. There's not really an equivalent of that. Like, you know, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart had the different dimensions and stuff, but a game that is like literally like, no, the mechanics will be slightly different, but a AAA version of that, like a third person or something, I don't think that anything like
that
exists.
Well, I mean, Octopath did it, but Octopath, weirdly, for being inspired by this, was sort of less successful. People didn't like the restarting thing, even though they were all set in the same kind of world and universe. And this, I think this works better for just being like, they are just
fully
disconnected
different
from one another.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's no connective tissue. Mm. And it sort of does, it's still, each of them has like a little intro-y kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very, they're very story-driven, all of them, which means watching like cut scenes, which are like the of the time equivalent where you're just watching sprites kind of walk around and go like, which sometimes is a little like tedious in the pacing. But yeah, it's, I'm really enjoying it.
Fuck yeah.
I'm keen to see what this little, what this little galvanizing bit is that has been hinted at and spoiled in 2 separate reviews I've read.
Live Alive.
Live Alive.
Live Alive.
Live Alive.
Well, a game that I didn't enjoy. This is a Game Pass game. It's out now. It came out about a week and a half ago, called As Dusk Falls.
Yes.
So it was like, it's been very well reviewed. I'm very surprised. This is getting 9s out of 10s across the board pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It is a story game. It is a choice game, kind of like a Telltale game.
Yep.
I remember seeing this in a...
It was in a presentation, yeah. It definitely was.
The art style is pretty distinct. It's like these...
It's distinctly bad, in my opinion.
Oh, right. Baby.
It feels like I can see through the matrix on this game because all it, what it is, so it's like a story game where it's like a family on a road trip.
Yep.
It's like a husband, wife, daughter, grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, going down Route 66 in wherever that is, Arizona or whatever. And the crux of the story, the hook is like they go to the motel and then they get taken hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to figure your way through this situation. But the presentation is literally they've just got actors, they've got, you know, their locations, and they've taken photos.
They've
taken a lot of still photos.
Okay.
And it's then like digitized sort of a little Ascanner Darkly, if you like turned the Ascanner Darkly filter down to a low setting.
It's literally like 2 Photoshop filters combined.
Right.
It's like cutout and poster edges.
Right.
Like
right.
I literally like, it's what I did for my like year 12 studio arts project.
Okay.
And they don't, there's no animation. They literally like do like the crossfade between each frame, you know, like they just fade from one position to the other. It's mostly static though. And then the voice acting is not very good. It's like one of those things where you notice how difficult it must be to do good voice acting, especially in games, because it's like, well, that's not a, it's not even like a cartoon that's been sort of drawn for it. It's meant to be, you know, interactive, but this, the voices just don't seem to match up.
Right.
You know, and when it's just static images, it just makes it even worse. It's more incongruous. You're just like, well, that's just someone in a booth, you know, you can just really
yep.
see through it in a way.
It's yep. funny because, like, looking at just the images of it, it looks as though the simplest way to do this would be to literally film this
yeah.
and then take snapshots out of filming it. So I'd imagine that's what they did.
And then and they've recorded the sound and then they've just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny looking because, like, it looks sort of like Max Payne, where how they had those kind of the comic booky, but right. with real faces translated into comic book.
People have called it comic booky.
I remember seeing a thing of a comic that I enjoy and, like, the art especially being, like, so good and detailed and realistic looking and thinking, like, man, I could never draw like that. And then seeing a thing of, like, in the back of one of the trade paperbacks, like, here's some behind the scenes. And it's literally, they've just taken photos
and traced
of people and, like, gone over that. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I could do that.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That is what this looks like. Like, it, they've got sort of pastely painted looking effect on them. But, yeah, it looks like
it just doesn't work because there are games that have been made in the past 20 years that animate these kind of things. You know, like, Telltale has an aesthetic. It is almost comic booky, you know. It's sort of cell-shaded-ish, but
well,
it's
stuff
drawn.
In Persona is like those kind of portraits that come up on the side of the screen.
Sure.
And they're static, but they're still, they'll change for each line to kind of, like, you know, give give what they talk, the emotion of what they're talking about.
Well, and they're deliberately drawn to be over-expressive in a stylistic way for knowing that it's going to be these flat representations of the character.
But
the effect I'm getting just looking at screenshots on Google here of this game.
Hey, that's the experience of playing the game. Well,
and everyone looks kind of like they're a bit dead in the face.
And I think overacting. There's like this like bit where like the guy chucks on a song in the car and him singing it, and you can't see this, listeners, but to the guys here, he's just like goes like,
yeah, that's it looks
big,
like
big open mouth, like fully over expressive.
Ben
like
did the dick suck motion.
Yeah.
It's like a. It looks like it's a still frame taken out of a moving shot, which makes people's faces look weird. Like it's. Do you see what I mean? Like the
it's flat. Yeah.
The way of acting in a still would be different to.
And like,
I don't like looking at any of these faces. They all look weird. To me.
And with Persona or a lot of, like, you know, visual novel games, they're drawing these characters. So they know how to emphasize that emotion in a way that is artistic. And yeah, just taking a snapshot of someone who honestly isn't acting very well, you know, is, it feels a little, I don't know, like lazy or something.
Yeah,
like
I said.
I made a project like this when I was 18 and it didn't look all that different and it was just as interactive. Like, that was the thing that I did. So it's just that. It's that presentation combined with like moving the cursor over and selecting this. I was like, okay, yeah, you're going to look at the jar of honey.
Right.
Like it just, I didn't buy it. I don't know. Like it just didn't work on me.
Is the story and the writing any good or you? Hard to see past all that stuff.
I found the first hour or so pretty poorly written.
Okay.
And poorly acted.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't help that none of it worked
for
me.
Yeah, okay.
But I would say divorced of the aesthetic, it still was not very
still
interesting.
Still not great.
Yeah. So I'm really surprised that people got into this. It feels like some of the critics, I mean, I saw IGN gave a 9 out of 10, but like I saw a Guardian review where I was like, well, maybe they were really into the story or they were like, oh, I've never played a game like this where it is, you know, an interactive thriller or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to tell. It's, I don't know. I only listen to our reviews.
Okay. Well, that's
for
the
all
beauty
games.
Of, that's the beauty of Game Pass, baby.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a shame because it like if the acting is bad for a game that is only acting, the presentation doesn't work for a game that is only presentation, that seems like it wouldn't be good. But yeah, the screenshots don't look like they would translate well into, because like looking at the screenshots, it's like, oh, these faces look weird. And then thinking, but you'd be looking at these for a long time whilst listening to the actor speak.
Right. Yeah.
It looks like a, you know, you'd get like a magazine review of a movie that would sometimes have like a funny still of a frame from a film put in there, and someone's face can look a bit off, but in motion it looks normal. Every single one of the faces looks like that.
Yeah. It's so bizarre.
Because we're currently playing through The Quarry over on our YouTube, and that seems like a similar-ish thing. Thriller, interactive kind of story.
Yeah, apparently there's co-op in there, which is
there's an eight-player mode of some kind in this game as well. In As Dusk Falls.
Yeah,
And people who reviewed it did say like, it feels like it's not like you're controlling characters in a game. It's like they're a real family whose lives are in your hands. Like, it feels like a series of photos with people doing voiceover. You know, it's too easy to see through.
Be awesome if we find out that Ben's computer's just broken and it is actually moving, but he's just got his frame rate set to like one frame a minute.
I did. This is stupid, and maybe I should save it for the bonus, but I started watching Better Call Saul last night, and it was like a black and white opening. Oh, wow. And the characters were speaking in French, and I was like, wow, what a fucking departure. He's gone to France. And then I had the wrong audio language. I was about to message you guys and be like, wow, this is a really avant-garde.
And not subtitled.
You know? Yeah.
I could see through the matrix of this game. Getting fooled into thinking people are French.
but this great French game, As Dusk Falls, give it a go. No, I don't know. Like,
it's
I'm
on
curious.
The Game Pass.
Let me know if you played it and liked it. Because I want to know if it's something I'm not getting. It's just too hard for me to get through the aesthetic. That's my thoughts.
It often happens
Dusk Falls.
With video game stories that people give them a weird leeway because it's a game. But as they get closer to being a movie, that tends to go the opposite direction for us, I think, where the closer it gets to that, the more scrutiny it is, because like, okay, well now this is this art form that we overappreciate.
Yeah. So, but it can't, it's like, well, it can't just be like, oh, it's a, you know, violent thriller about a family getting taken. It's like, well, yeah, there's a bunch of video games with adult stories.
Yeah. Anyway. I guess that's us. That's going to
do
week.
Us for the week, guys. Yeah, check out the YouTube channel if you want to see us play through The Quarry.
It's a great game.
It's a great game. Fun and game. There's heaps of other stuff on there as well. But yeah, we're having a lot of fun with The Quarry at the moment.
It's
the
very end of Giant July.
Yeah.
Giant July is coming to a close. Thanks to everyone who's gone over to patreon.com/filthycasualspod. And signed up. It means the world to us. And we'll be doing our last little bonus thing on Sunday, which like a live Q&A.
But if you haven't jumped on yet, you can still get access to the Bandcamp that we just did, the history of flops and failures in video games.
Which will be up on Bandcamp on Sunday as well.
Yes, yep.
The gaming session, which you can watch us play. What do we do?
Quiplash.
Gartic Phone. The week before that, we put out a Warcraft commentary.
It'll all be there forever. Anytime you want to go over and have a look.
All several hundred episodes of the bonus podcast that we've been doing for a few years as well.
But yeah, get on now. You can you can hang out live with us on Sunday. All the info will be on there. Filthycasuals.com.au is probably the best way to find links to all the stuff that we have. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
welcome to D's Nuts Land. My name's Dickie Mouse. Thanks very much for coming along.
I guarantee you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.